Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. You can't have too many Bibles, can you? No. Amen. You know, the Apostle John in Revelation 1:10, he was in spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
And he heard a voice and he saw a vision.
Amen.
Well, today, saints, is the Lord's day.
Amen.
Are we in spirit?
Amen.
Well, I'm pretty sure we were when we were singing. But then something kind of happens during the testing where the spirit kind of deflates a little bit. So maybe we need to be sure. We need to be sure. Does anyone know a verse that can help us be sure that we are in our mingled spirit? Declare it.
No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit.
Except in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12:3. So just to be sure, how about we declare three times? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. How about brothers on Jesus, serving ones on is, and all the sisters on Lord? Go.
Jesus
is
Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Okay, how about, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah, because we need to be doubly sure. Because every meeting is a corporate endeavor. It's a corporate activity. It's not an individual effort, right? I'm here trying to release. You're here trying to receive. We need to work together. And we can't do this if we're not in our spirit. So, how about all the sisters on, oh, all the serving ones on, oh, Lord, and all the brothers on, amen, or hallelujah. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. See, I get confused. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. So sisters first, then serving ones, then brothers. Go.
Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah.
All together. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Okay, so the title of this message on page 15 is Having a Proper Spirit. And really the burden here is that our spirit requires our attention. It requires our care. It requires our diligent oversight. The worst thing that you can do as a Christian is to ignore your spirit. Because to ignore your spirit is to ignore your relationship with the Lord. We saw already that where does the Lord live? He lives in our spirit. So really, to ignore our spirit is to ignore Him. Serious, right? We might have the thought that, well, as the title implies, right, having a proper spirit, you can have, it means that, well, maybe my spirit may not be so proper, right? And I think we're all clear that because of the fall, our body became a flesh of sin, and our soul became the self with all of its opinions, concepts related to Satan, right? All of our own preferences. But we think, well, we know that the spirit was just deadened, and that's right. There's not a direct problem with our spirit. But our spirit, when we exercise it, it has to pass through our soul and our body. And it can pick up some things. It can pick up some defilement. And Brother Dennis will share more about that later. The point is this, is that our spirit, I was going to liken it to a car engine, but I think like the mechanism of a finely made automatic watch is a better example. You know, you have to wind it every day. An automatic watch without a battery, you have to wind it every day. You have to clean it periodically. If any dirt or foreign particle gets in there, it'll cause it to not function. Right? It won't function. Our spirit is similar to this. Actually, a better example would even be a muscle. Our spirit is really a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it atrophies. It gets weak. Sometimes it's hard for us to preach the gospel or to stand up in the meeting and sing a song or go to the mic or even release our memory verse because we just haven't touched our spirit in so long. There's a brother in Philadelphia who's a bodybuilder. He has really big muscles and he's proud of it. I'm not going to say his name. But he's telling me, in order to carry all that muscle, he has to consume so many calories. He has to eat all the time in addition to working out, right? These two things combine, make him strong, give him the muscles. Well, our spirit is very similar to this. We need to exercise it.
Amen.
We need to take our spirit to the gym. That's what this training is. Think of it as a gym for your spirit.
Amen.
To work out. It's also a nutritious place to receive all those heavenly calories that you need to make your spirit big and strong.
Amen.
Right? We brothers, we need to care. You know, bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but The exercise of the Spirit profits all things. Amen. We need to care more about the strength and size of our spirit than about how we look in the mirror. All right? So, as that could be the introduction. Now, if you look at this outline, we have six Roman numerals, and they all start with "we need to." We need to. So concerning our spirit, saints, and this is following the burden, there's a lot of need. Our spirit has a lot of need. There are things that we need to do. And we see in Romans 6, there's something that we need to know. The first three Roman numerals, though, are all concerned with Psalm 51. Okay, that's where those points come from. How many of you are familiar with, shall I say, the origin story of Psalm 51? Do you know where it comes from? Right. So Psalm 51 is the psalm written by David, King David, after his repentance concerning his sin with Bathsheba, committing adultery with Bathsheba, and murdering her husband. So for those of you who are not familiar with the story, I'll try to summarize quickly. So this is, if you want to read it, and I encourage you to do this. Read 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 2 Samuel 12, 14. Then stop and read Psalm 51. Psalm 51 comes in at that point. Then go on and read through verse 25 to see how the story ends. Okay? So 2 Samuel 11 begins with David. He is in Jerusalem, the capital. But that's at the time when kings should be going into battle, should be taking their army into war. And actually, his army is in battle, but he is back in the capital. He rose late in the afternoon from his bed. Anyway, I just mentioned those two points because one is, you know, we did enjoy the verse yesterday from, I believe it's Psalm 119, about David anticipating the dawn. Unfortunately, this morning, he was not anticipating so much. I'm not sure he spent the time in the Word, which is just a practical point. Those days when you don't have morning revival, those are high-risk days. That's how I feel. In the back of my mind, I know I was rushing. I didn't have the time with the Lord. I'm like, I'm in a precarious position right now. It's a high risk. What you should do at that point is stop, grab a few minutes, touch your spirit, exercise your spirit, maybe read a verse, eat a verse, tell the Lord that you love him, right? Because you're in a dangerous situation. Anyway, David was having a lazy day, eventually led him into sin. He saw Bathsheba bathing, committed adultery. Eventually, to hide her pregnancy, he had her husband killed, right? He conspired with Joab, the captain of the army, to put Uriah, who was a noble man. If you read the story, he would not even come back to his house because his comrades were still sleeping outdoors. So he said, I'm not going back to my house. I'm sleeping at the gate, outside the gate of the king's palace, right? He's a good man. And if you read 2 Samuel 23, he's listed as one of the mighty men of war, right? Anyway, Joab puts, on David's orders, he puts Uriah in the fiercest part of the fighting, and then he has all the men withdraw, so he's left there alone. Of course, he gets killed, right? Now, David apparently doesn't have any conflict with this until the Lord sends Nathan the prophet to him to tell him a story. I won't get into the story, but the point is that David is convicted. He realizes that he has committed a terrible sin. Actually, in the committing this sin, he broke all five of the last 10 commandments. Murder, adultery, theft, false witness, and covetousness, although not in that order. So this is a big, big failure. And some of us might have had some failures, but I don't think we've done anything on the level of what David did, right? So Nathan comes in. Nathan is God's prophet. He speaks. David receives it. He takes it. He does not argue. He realizes, I have sinned. And his response to the Lord speaking to him through Nathan is Psalm 51, right? 19 verses. I highly recommend you pray reading Psalm 51. If you're struggling to break through with the Lord, if you're feeling stopped up, if you're feeling that you can't push out your spirit, spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes on Psalm 51. Make it your prayer. Dig away all the obstacles. Allow the Lord to come in, and we'll see. He will cleanse you. Amen. So, Roman numeral 1, we need to have a right spirit. And this is the King James version. And A says, a right spirit is an upright spirit, a steadfast, constant, or firm spirit, a spirit that is immovable, unshakable, standing constantly as something firm and steady. Actually, when you consider all of the adjectives in this point, this kind of spirit is just Christ. Which makes sense because Christ is living in our spirit.
Amen.
However, if we don't exercise our spirit, care for our spirit, we don't get to enjoy all of these aspects, right? And I just wanted to read to you the Recovery Version translation. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So here we have the translation steadfast, and we have the translation right. And as you see in that point, if you read the excerpts, a right spirit is not a right spirit in the sense of it that it is not wrong, but it is upright, that it is proper, that is it acceptable and approvable in the eyes of the Lord, that it's functioning correctly. You understand? We'll see more as we proceed through the outline. In his repentance, this is B, David prayed that the Lord would renew a right spirit within him, a constant, firm, steady spirit. C, we always need a right spirit, which is always steadfast, firm,
Amen.
Constant,
Amen.
Immovable,
Amen.
And unshakable,
Amen.
So that we can never be tempted, seduced, or misled. So, in this situation, we see a portrait of what a right spirit is through David's failure. At the time of his failure, of his sin, he did not have a proper spirit. So he was misled, seduced, and tempted. However, if we want to avoid that kind of situation, we can by exercising to care for our spirit, that it would be this way.
Amen.
And along those lines, I want to emphasize in point B, the matter of David's repentance. This point here, especially Roman numeral 1, follows in perfectly with the fellowship we had this morning about the daily time, about repenting, confessing our sin. Actually, the biggest problem with sin is not that we've done something wrong, but that it separates us from God. It causes us to lose his presence. If you look further down in Psalm 51, it says, this is the next verse after verse 10, this is verse 11, do not cast me from your presence, and do not take the spirit of your holiness away from me. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing worse than losing the Lord's presence. In fact, actually, this is what eternal damnation is. That perdition that the unbelievers will experience is to be apart from God for eternity. You know, and I was considering to illustrate this point. If I say something to offend my wife, quite often then she doesn't want to have anything to do with me. She will leave the room. She takes her presence away from me. And if I follow her into the next room, she'll get up and leave that room. And that's going to be the case until I apologize to her and she forgives me, right? Which she does because she loves me. But it's even more serious with God because our God is holy and righteous.
Amen.
And anything that is unholy or unrighteous offends him. He cannot take part in it. So that's the seriousness of sin, is that it cuts off our fellowship with God. And we need to confess and repent in order to restore that fellowship. Now we know that fellowship is what? It's one of the functions of the Spirit.
Amen.
So if we want to care for that function of the Spirit, we have to take care of the matter of confessing and repenting. We need to have a repenting spirit. All the time, we should just be before the Lord. Lord, forgive me. I repent. Repentance is to have a change of thinking. To say I repent is to say, I am wrong in the way I'm thinking. I am wrong. Lord, I need to take you as my way.
Amen.
Amen. So this should be a prayer. Lord, do not cast me away from your presence.
Amen.
Oh, restore the fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Also, I'd just like to point out in verse 10, and I think in another, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Again, we see the pairing, just like we see in Ezekiel 36:26. We see the pairing of the spirit and the heart again in one verse. So these things are closely related. We saw last night that the heart is the soul plus one part of the spirit, the conscience. So there's an overlap. So the spirit and the heart are closely related. Okay, Roman numeral 2. We need to have a willing spirit. And this is from verse 12. So we've had verse 10, verse 11, now verse 12. Restore to me the gladness of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Gladness can also be translated joy, the joy of your salvation, the gladness of your salvation. How many of you this morning are glad?
Amen.
Are you joyful?
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We'll see, you know, when school starts, if you can maintain that, right? Sometimes, you know, let me just read A first. In Psalm 51, in David's repentance and confession, he prayed that God would give him a willing spirit. David connected the willing spirit with the gladness of his salvation. Let me go on. A willing spirit depends upon the gladness of salvation. When we have the gladness of salvation, we spontaneously will have a willing spirit to go along with the Lord.
Amen.
Oftentimes, it's difficult for us to follow the Lord because we are not in the gladness of His salvation. This is the salvation that He bestowed upon us. And I will tell you, one secret to entering into the gladness of His salvation is this matter of confession and repentance. We had the verse this morning, right? Luke 7:47. He who has been forgiven, or in this case it was the female, who has been forgiven much, loves much. He who has been forgiven little, loves little. If you have a thorough confession of your sins, and you sense and appreciate everything that the Lord did on the cross, dying for you, to forgive you of your sins, you will be brought into the gladness of your salvation.
Amen.
You will not be able to resist the Lord's constraining love for you.
Amen.
You will be beside yourself. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me.
Amen.
I should have died. I'm the one who is the sinner. The Lord is perfect. We're the one who committed the sin. But He died in our place.
Amen.
Saints, if you really see this and appreciate the cleansing of the Lord's blood, you will be beside yourself. You will enter into the joy of salvation.
Amen.
Then you'll be willing to follow the Lord wherever He leads you.
Amen.
You know, maybe He wants to lead you to the mic. If you're in the gladness of your salvation, that won't be a problem. You'll just flow right up there. If you're in yourself, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. Amen. See, a willing spirit is an issue of being happy and joyful in the Lord. When we have joy in God's Spirit, our spirit will be willing. We will have a willing spirit to fellowship with the Lord, to worship Him, and to pray. Right, Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is our portion, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
This is what God wants us to have and to experience. Joy!
Amen.
Anytime we're not joyful should be an indicator that something is wrong. Anytime that we're not experiencing the gladness of our salvation, we should stop. Turn to our spirit. Take an inventory and say, Lord, I repent. I should be glad.
Amen.
I should be joyful.
Amen.
Think about all the things that you've done for me. Not just the forgiveness of sins, but the fact that He entered into you as the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And now your spirit is life itself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do not take the lie of the enemy. Anything that causes you to be heavy or down, despondent or depressed, that's Satan's stratagem. But let me tell you a secret. Satan's stratagem only works when you cooperate with it. So saints, don't cooperate. When you hear the lie, say, that's a lie. Lord, the Lord would never speak anything to you that would cause you to be heavy, depressed, or down. Yes, He shines on our sins, but then He provides the blood to remove those sins,
Amen.
Thus bringing us back into the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
So saints, be exercised. Use this week as a training ground, right, as a gym, to practice, to push away anything of the enemy, any kind of evil or dark speaking that would make you heavy, make you despondent. Oh, turn to your spirit. Actually, the more that you're in your spirit, the less you'll receive that speaking. The more time you spend outside of your spirit, the more susceptible you are to those kind of thoughts, right? People who are in their spirit are the best people to be around. They're happy people. You know, I think of Brother Ken. You know, like, these are happy people. You want to be with those kind of people. They bring you into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. So, Roman numeral 3. We need to have a broken spirit. And this comes from verse 17 in Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Now, I read the second part just again to show you another verse where heart and spirit are connected, right? So, if you haven't figured it out yet, This is the burden and the theme of this training. A new heart and a new spirit.
Amen.
This is from the Bible. These two things go together. We need to take care of them. So right now we're on the line of taking care of our spirits, all right? We need to have a broken spirit. And I would say, don't be afraid of this word broken. For some of you, it's a totally new concept. Broken, what does this mean? For those of you who might have read a little bit in the ministry or heard some speaking, you have a lot of concepts about broken. For the sake of this fellowship, we'll see in point C that we have a simple definition. To be broken in spirit is just not to consider yourself perfect, not to consider yourself complete, right? Now, this is a problem that I think younger people have more so than older people, just because we've had more time to fail. We've had more time to sin and make mistakes. Realize, wow, I am not perfect. I am not complete. So this was David's experience, right? This experience broke him. And this breaking is not a shattering to pieces so that you're completely destroyed. No, it's a breaking like in Genesis 32 when Jacob wrestled with the Lord and the Lord touched his thigh and he had a limp ever after that. It's the knowledge that I in and of myself am not perfect. I am not complete. I will have to depend upon the Lord for the rest of my life.
Amen.
Saints, this is a wonderful thing. Yeah. Actually, saints, this is salvation.
Amen.
This is salvation. A says, in Psalm 51, 17a, David says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Think about this. God considers a broken spirit to be more of a sacrifice than the bulls or the goats. Wow, this is what pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord for a man to realize that he needs God.
Amen.
Saints, do you need God?
Amen.
Hallelujah, we need God. So, this is something that you can practice in just knowing yourself, and that when you sin, that's an indicator, right? That you're not perfect, you're not complete. You can treat it that way, but there also will be moments, too, throughout your life when you will have situations and circumstances that will make this a little bit more real to you. I would say, don't run away from these things, but also don't run after them either. They just happen to you in life. But when they do happen, remember, that broken spirit is a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God.
Amen.
Okay? B, a broken spirit is a spirit that repents, that feels very sorrowful for any sinfulness. In other words, a broken spirit is a repenting spirit. Saints, this is the opposite of a proud or haughty spirit, right? Two times in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5:5 and James 4:6, says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That word resist in the original Greek is like an army resisting an enemy. Do you want God to have that kind of resistance towards you? This is what happens. This is why he has to take away his presence from you. That pride is offensive to him. Pride is the original sin that Satan committed to cause the fall. So brokenness is in opposition to pride and wholeness. When we're proud, we're whole. We feel like in ourselves we're complete. We're capable, we're intelligent, all these things. We can do it. We can do it. This kind of man, this kind of person, the Lord resists. But one with a broken spirit who's relying on the Lord, who needs the Lord, this is the one that the Lord gives grace to.
Amen.
Amen. So see, to be broken means not to be whole. It means that you do not consider yourself perfect or complete. So before I end, just to bring everything together, we need to have a realistic view of who we are. We have a wonderful spirit. We are awesomely and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Because we have a spirit that matches God, who is spirit.
Amen.
And now this spirit is inhabited with that God.
Amen.
But if we don't take care of our confessing and repenting, our spirit can become heavy and down. It can become, if you imagine a fountain that's flowing up, if you put dirt on top of it, that water is not going to be able to get released. It's not going to gush up. We need to take some time, saints, to care for our spirit by digging away any obstacle, any kind of pollutant or contaminant that may have come into our spirit, right? 2 Corinthians 7:1 says we need to be cleansed from all defilement of flesh and spirit, right? The fleshly defilement is touching things in the material realm, but the defilement of spirit is touching things in the spiritual world, mainly related to idols. So again, An idol is something that replaces Christ in your heart. So again, we see the connection between the spirit and the heart. If we have idols, is if there's something that we love more than the Lord, that's going to affect our spirit in a negative way. That's going to, and then we're not going to have the joy, the gladness of our salvation. It's going to be difficult to follow the Lord when he wants to lead you. You know, I had experience where, you know, I lived in Europe for 9 years, and then at a certain point, the Lord was like, it's time for you to go, and I just wrestled with the Lord. I did not want to go. I was not in the gladness of his salvation, and I struggled, and I fought. Eventually, Lord had mercy, broke through, and then when you have the grace and the supply, it's easy to follow him. Amen. But without that supply, without that care for your spirit, it can be very, very difficult to even do something very simple for the Lord. Right? So if we want to have a life of following the Lamb wherever he leads, we need to care for our spirit by removing anything that would defile or contaminate our spirit. Anytime we have a sense of heaviness, anytime that we are sluggish, we need to take some time, confess, and repent. Then the gladness of our salvation will be restored to us.
Amen.
And we will realize, we will know that we are not perfect, we are not complete. Actually, the only one who's perfect and complete is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And with this realization, he will be well pleased with us.
Amen.
And he will supply us. Amen. And we will enjoy him.
Amen.
So I think I'll stop here, and Brother Dennis will continue. Amen.
We sing Psalm 2, Create in Me a Clean Heart. I think we almost know it.
The Lord wants us to be happy. Amen. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence,
take
thy Holy Spirit from me,
restore
unto me the joy of my salvation,
and renew
a right spirit. This song has helped me in a number of periods in my life to restore the joy of my salvation. I think none of us, like you said, have committed this kind of failure, but sooner or later we have something we just cannot get through. And at these points, we just humbly come to the Lord and read Psalm 51. You know, I did it, I messed up. So I'm here this morning as a brother by the Lord's mercy. Because the Lord restored my heart.
Amen.
Restored the joy of my salvation.
Amen.
So I'm going to go on to the second part, Romans 4. But I had a question for you this morning is, what kind of person do you like to live with? And this is relation to what kind of condition is your spirit. So I've been living with my permanent roommate for 12 years, which is my wife. Sorry, I need to find my ring. But anyways, the kind of person you live with is so crucial. And actually, what kind of spirit to have is the most precious. So these last points I want to cover is, what kind of spirit do you have? What is the condition of your spirit? You know, when I was young, I got married very young. As most people, you look at outward appearance, and you look at other things, but really, it is the kind of person that's going to make your life either really happy or really miserable. And this is the same with the Lord. The Lord wants to dwell with us. He's looking for it. The point here says God desires a dwelling place.
Amen.
So what kind of condition are you in? Can God dwell with you right now, or are you too proud, right? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Why don't we read, brothers, read 4 together.
We need to have a contrite and lowly spirit.
So each of these, before brother said we need, I have a question. Do you have a contrite and lowly spirit? So what is a contrite and lowly spirit? I'll give you a definition. It says, contrite is feeling very sorry and guilty for something bad you have done. It's very similar to broken. Very sorry and guilty. Oh, Lord Jesus. And a lowly spirit, I want to read the verses from Isaiah. So Isaiah 57:15. So 14 says, and it will be said, cast up, prepare the way, take up the obstacle out of the way of my people. And then verse 15 says, but thus says the high and exalted one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy.
Amen.
I will dwell in the high and holy place, and with a contrite and lowly of spirit.
Amen.
Where is the Lord going to dwell? With a contrite and lowly of spirit.
Amen.
You know, yesterday we saw in the morning message about how we're created as a vessel to contain God, right? And when God formed the heavens, he formed the earth, and he formed the spirit, you know, he stretched forth, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him.
Amen.
Well, that's where spirit was created, but where does he want to dwell? He wants to dwell in your spirit.
Amen.
He's going to make home in your spirit, but he cannot make home in a proud spirit. It needs to be a contrite and lowly spirit. There's a note here, if you have it, Isaiah, it's going to actually, it goes to 66:2. Amen. Isaiah 66:2 says, for all these things my hand has made, and so all these things have come into being, declares Jehovah, but to this kind of man will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Oh, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 66:2, there's a very good note on, and I can't seem to find it right now. I think it's in 57. Here, I wrote it down. So it's in 66:1. I'm the wrong chapter. That's why I can't find it. So yesterday we saw the heavens, the earth, and the spirit. Well, 66:1 says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? So in this note here, the importance of your human spirit is the importance of God's eternal habitation.
Amen.
That's how important your human spirit is.
Amen.
So according to verse 2 and verse 57:15, the dwelling place of God desires to have is a group of people into whom he can enter. God intends to have a dwelling place in the universe that is the mingling of God and man. in which God is built into man and man is built into God. So that God and man can be a mutual abode to each other. Then it goes on. So the New Testament, it's in Ephesians 2, it's the dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen.
So where is he building this habitation? In spirit.
Amen.
In your mingled spirit.
Amen.
So do you see the importance now of caring for your spirit? That we need to have a proper spirit? Oh, Lord Jesus. Could the sisters read 8? And brothers, be.
God desires to dwell with people who have a contrite and lowly spirit.
So here, circle, God desires. What does he do? God desires to dwell. Amen. See, if we are contrite and lowly in our spirit, we are broken in our spirit and we can enjoy God's presence. God is then with us and even dwells with us.
Amen.
So here are some conditions, right? Lowly, contrite, broken. But the thing that touched me is God's presence. Like our brother shared, if we lose God's presence, we lose everything. None of us can lose, you know, your salvation, but you can lose God's presence. And if you lose the presence, the wife leaves the room, well, you're not dwelling by yourself. In the same way, and if we feel like God leaves us, if our spirit is not proper. Let's go on to 5. Let's all read 5 together.
We need to have a meek and quiet spirit.
So a meek and quiet spirit. I want to read 1 Peter 3:4. But the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible and adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is very costly in the sight of God.
Amen.
So what is the hidden man? We all know we have, you know, our outer man. Actually, in the ministry, you find there's, you know, 3 men, right? There's the outer man, or it could be a soulish man, or it could be a spiritual man, or the hidden man. So what dominates your being? Here it says the hidden man is very costly in the sight of God. So if you're a person who lives in a spirit, that is a very costly, valuable thing to God. But even to one another. Like I said in my question, who do you want to live with? I want to live with someone who uses their spirit.
Amen.
Who touches their spirit. You know, it's such a peaceful place to live with someone who can turn to their spirit. The opposite of not being in your spirit is, I wrote down here all the opposites. Oh, Lord. This is just some of them, but we could be so proud. We could have a criticizing spirit. We could have a condemning spirit. We could have a jealous spirit. We could have a lurking behind spirit, you know, all the different expressions that you kind of spirit you could have is very hard to be with someone, you know. Sometimes I fellowship with someone, and I just sense there's a spirit of condemnation. You know, I'm trying to open to them, but they're just condemning you. They're not saying nothing wrong, but they're condemning you. Well, oh, Lord Jesus, we need to have a proper spirit dealt with.
Amen.
Under the God's living light.
Amen.
So that's why to have a meek and quiet spirit. And here in Galatians, Paul asked them, Galatians 6:1, says, brothers, even if a man is overtaken in some offense, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, first of all of us are going to fail at some point. And I've had ones come to me, you know, with a serious failure of sin. Well, if right off the bat I says, how could you do it? That is it. You know, fellowship is done. You know, never talk to you again. But do we have a spirit of meekness? But the last part says, look to yourself, lest you also be tempted. It's very possible that you're going to commit that same failure this person has committed. So we need to look at ourselves, and how do we get a broken spirit? You know, a meek spirit is actually it's my failures. You know, I look at myself, and I look at this young person, and I says, I can't condemn. Because I just realize I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. So now we're looking to restore such a one. And you may have classmates, maybe there's some friends or you know brothers that you know have committed a very serious sin. And how are you going to approach them? Are you going to condemn them, or are you going to come to them in a spirit of meekness? Oh, Lord Jesus. This is why we're talking about this morning, is we need to deal with our spirit. You know, I'm going to give an example in a little bit. Strictly speaking, our spirit, you know, is pure, right? But why don't we just finish the outline, and then we'll talk about what kind of spirit we have. So 1 Peter 3:4 says that the hidden man of our heart is a meek and quiet spirit. Amen. So what does meekness mean? Not fighting for oneself. Who fights for themselves? I had the right answer, but they marked it wrong. I had a brother come to me. I had a right answer. Teacher marked it wrong, so I went and complained. Well, maybe fight for yourself. To be meek means not to resist the world's opposition, but to suffer it willingly. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you suffer the world's opposition? You know, I was young. I used to get speeding tickets. And I'm still young, but and I still get tickets. But my first ticket, I just wanted to go to court and fight it. You know, this is wrong, you know, even though I'm wrong. But this is my spirit. I got to find a way to, you know, make it right. And one time, I'll give you an example. I'm a civil engineer, so I know all the signs. So you have to have a warning sign, and you need to have the actual sign before you can give your foot or radar ticket. So they didn't have proper signage, so when I went to court, I said, well, you didn't have the proper signage, so I'm not paying my ticket. You know, I won the court, and I didn't have to see the judge and everything. But after, I was just like, oh, Lord, was that really worth it? Was it really worth it to lose, you know, the presence of the Lord? You know, we could be right, but we could be dead right. Right? It's not so much about right and wrong here. It is, do you have the peace with the Lord? Do you have the presence of the Lord? So it's not to fight for ourselves. Regardless of the situation, we should be meek, not fighting against others. You know, who lives in corporate living where you live with other brothers and sisters? Who lives with other? So there's a number of you. I hope you don't fight with one another. But really, you think you're so meek. You know, you think you're so lowly. And many times it's just pretense. You know, I'm humble, but there's some ulterior motive. You know, I want something from you. So how do we need, you know, what is the test, whether you're actually lowly in spirit, is what is your motive? You know, you come to fellowship with a brother, what is your motive? What is your intention? What is your desire? Sometimes we, you know, buddy-buddy with someone because we want to get something. I need some help in this assignment, so I'll be nice to you. What is our intention? It's not a pure spirit. You know, later on it goes about ambition or will or interest. So these are all signs that we are not have a pure spirit. And I wanted to give you a little example. All right, I got a cup of dirt here. So we're vessels, okay? So, I won't cover the matter of the conscience so much, but all of us created like a vessel, like a cup. We can be filled with something. And obviously we were created in a pure way, and we're, you know, but then sin came in, and we were contaminated, and so we had the dirt, right? The Satan, the defilement, it came into our vessel. Our body, soul, and our spirit was dead in. Now, you may have, obviously, if I, you know, put water in here, you're not going to drink it, right? Who's going to drink this? No. So, you're not going to drink it. So what if I, now, this is the worst case scenario where you're confounded with sin, all defilement, your body, everything is deadened. But now you come to the Lord and you're cleansed, you're washed, you take care of all your sins. So, okay, you got received the Spirit, right? And the Spirit is pure, right? God is pure, and there's nothing wrong with the Spirit. It's holy. So, yes, we're going to drink the Spirit, but what happens? So we have your fallen condition, we have your spirit, and now we have your soul. Okay? The spirit has to pass through your soul, through your body, and out. So even though the flow may be pure, but it gets mixed. So it's not bad. You can drink that, right? It's just a little contamination. Well, this is like our spirit of condemnation. It's not that the spirit itself is condemned, right? But it's a spirit of condemnation. So something in your being, and I recently had, just like this week, I had to go to the Lord about it. Why do I feel this way about this brother? And it just, I had to come to the Lord because I could say the right thing to him, but I couldn't fellowship with him in a clear way because I had a, you know, sense of condemnation or maybe a pride against him. So my spirit wasn't pure. It wasn't sinful, right? It wasn't, you know, I didn't lie to him or I didn't do anything to him, but I had a spirit of condemnation. So for that, I had to go to the Lord and ask for living light, Lord. Lord Jesus, why am I feeling this way? And you know, the light just always comes and shines back at you. Maybe I was proud. I think I'm better than he is. Right? It always comes back at you. So I was like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I want your living light, Lord. So now when I speak to the brother, I don't want, you know, an impure spirit to come out. Right? I won't even, let's say, brother, you know, I'll give us an example. I say, Russell. You know, Russell, you know, let's fellowship. Amen. You know, I have no problem with you, but let's fellowship. But if I have a spirit of condemnation, he senses it. Doesn't matter what you say, it is what is in your spirit. Yeah. And another example Brother Lee gives is a mother could be to her child and say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. But the child just loves her and gives her hugs and kisses. Because in her spirit, she really loves the child. Doesn't matter what she says, it's actually what's in your spirit. You know, if you want to know what's in someone's spirit, you just need to listen to them. And very soon you have a sense. Are they condemning you? What kind of spirit to have? So Brother Lee says the best thing, if you don't want to know your spirit, don't say anything. But we need to fellowship and we get exposed through the light, Lord. So let's read the last one. We need to know of what spirit we are. We need to know of what spirit. This is in Luke chapter 9, where John and James, right, the sons of thunder, they wanted to cast fire down. It says, maybe I can just read the verse for you before. You ever had someone preach the gospel and they weren't doing it your way and you just wanted to cast fire down? They did it wrong. No. Well, these brothers are getting a pattern for us of what not to do. So in 9:55. So in 54, and seeing, uh, so 54, James and John, they were rejected, right? So they said, James and John said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Lord, you know, these are his disciples, and they're going about to cast fire down and consume them because, you know, they were rejected, right? But the Lord says, he rebuked them and saying, you do not know of what kind of spirit you are. The Son of Man has not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. Amen. The Son of Man has not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them.
Amen.
This is the spirit we need to have for man. You know, we touched recently in a conference in Montreal, is Satan is out to destroy every man's life. And he's done this very subtle, to the extreme case even of suicide. He is out to destroy man's life. And all of us here, I think, have faced some kind of death from friends or around us. What a spirit we need is to restore such a one. You know, right there, you may be the only sister that she will talk to. And if you don't have a proper spirit, you cannot bring God to them. You cannot restore their soul. This morning I told a brother, your soul is worth more than the whole world. You know? If one repents, it's worth more than the whole world. This is the value of your, you know, to God, right? More than the whole world is your soul. But to the enemy, what is it worth? Just one life. You know, one life, that's it. I'll get another 1,000. So the enemy, time and time after then, he's out to destroy, but the Lord, he's come to save.
Amen.
He's come to save.
Amen.
So what kind of spirit we are is really important to be able to restore a brother. So I'll just finish reading here. We always have to learn to know what kind of spirit we have. In other words, with God and with man, we always need a proper spirit. If our spirit is improper, we are through with God. We need to know what condition our spirit is in. The Bible tells us to consider our ways, and we always have to consider our spirit.
Amen.
We should consider not only our inward ways, our outward behavior, and our outward attitude, but also our inward spirit. Let's all read the focus together.
We need to have a proper spirit, a spirit that is steadfast, willing, broken, contrite, lowly, meek, and quiet. For this reason, we also need to know the condition of our spirit and deal with our spirit by means of prayer.
All right. So to apply this, really, this comes as that song we sang this morning is coming to the Lord in prayer. Oh, may thy living light, Lord, scatter all my night, Lord. And then stanzas 2 says, so often I'm deceived. Realistically, we're so deceived. And what is the sign of someone deceived? It's you only see yourself. I've met, you know, so many students only see themselves or only see their own little social world, right? Socially connected, but physically, what'd you say? Physically isolated, mentally disturbed, right? They're just concerned about their self and their self-being. And recently I met my wife's cousin, and none of the family's here, so they won't know who it is. He's a young man in his late 20s, and everything revolves around himself. You know, he has a house, he has a job, but it's really sad to see that how he, you know, I went to visit him recently, and he wouldn't even come to a Dairy Queen to have, you know, ice cream with me because that would take away from his video game time. You know, this is the extreme where he had been playing video games to such extent, he was absorbed in this other world, he couldn't even get out of, this virtual world. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is the track you could be heading if you're not taking care of your spirit. You know, coming to the Lord, having living light, Lord, you may be deceived to such an extreme path. So we need the Lord's mercy. to shine on us. Amen. It's not just about you, right? The generation is all about you. It's about the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But his eternal purpose,
Amen.
To work himself into you.
Amen.
This is God's desire.
Amen.
We are part of something much greater than yourself.
Amen.
We're part of God's eternal habitation.
Amen.
And where is that going to take place? In a proper spirit. So if you want God to dwell in you, we need to go to the Lord in this kind of prayer.
Amen.
Lord, and ask, right? None of us have this. I'm not born with a meek spirit. Ask the Lord, and he will give it to you. That's why David just asked the Lord, create in me a clean heart. So why don't we sing that, and we'll end here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Praise the Lord. We want to stay in the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
We don't have any